You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Yeah, it's the Cooligans. You hear the crowd going crazy. Thank you. Everybody's watching this.
Yes, vamos. Yes, everybody's losing their minds. You know, I think the appropriate thing to do once you hit play on this show is just a round of applause, you know?
Of applause, at least.
You know, when a comedian, you know, gets on stage, we need that energy, okay? So that's how we have to start the show on the right foot.
Yeah. We give you the energy you give us.
Bro, I mean, this is...
So
this is,
if y'all weak, you get a weak podcast, bro.
Yeah, y'all are getting a peek behind the curtain there. This is Comedy 101, all right? When you go to hosting school, when you're hosting a stand-up show, this is what you learn. You say, hey, you got it. We give you the energy you give us. You know what I mean? You create a bond, a connection with the audience.
Or you make it their responsibility to have a good show, which is what I love.
Okay, a little pressure.
You know, and by the way, we're no Sebastian Maniscalco, but shouts to everyone over at the main show.
But what's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans Women's World Cup Daily. My name is Christian Polanco.
I am Alexis Guerreros, together with the Cooligans.
Let's go. It's match day seven. This is 7 days in a row. Been doing this every day. It's just been incredible.
We have not stopped talking about the Women's World Cup.
Yeah, you know, we're starting to fade, bro. The energy.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So we need.
Oh, it's dipping.
We need the energy from the audience to be higher. Yeah. So that means clicks. That means engagement. Okay. Yes. That means tweeting at us. All right.
That means hitting the subscribe button on this damn show.
That's it. That's what's gonna give us the life force to continue because it's not easy getting up. You know, watching some of these games in the middle of the night and then also recording a podcast. You know, the following morning. And I have a baby. Alexis has morning footy. We gotta pat ourselves on the back for surviving this far. Okay.
This is a lot. And you know what? I haven't seen Black Panther in a minute. Was it Vibranium?
Yes, Vibranium.
Right? That's what we get when you click the button. And when you just listen and laugh and don't click the button, that's Kryptonite. Okay. And those are the two foreign substances from cartoons that I remember.
I love how you say Kryptonite the way you say like cryptocurrency. Kryptonite.
Is it not Kryptonite?
It's not. You're saying it like the dude say... Dynamite, you know?
You're saying. Is it not called Kryptonite?
The O is not really accentuated as much as you
there doing. Is an O.
There is an O. But you're saying Kryptonite as opposed to crypt. It's like UH, Kryptonite. Kryptonite. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. That I know. So this is our Kryptonite.
Look. The shows are getting loopier and loopier every morning.
I'm making cartoon references. Anything can happen.
So, it's been dope so far. Match day seven, we had three huge matches. Let's take a quick look at them. We had Spain. The first match was Japan against Costa Rica, Spain, Zambia, and then Canada against Ireland.
Japan got some ballers on their team, bro.
Very much so, yeah. And I want to talk about them. Let's talk about them first, because Japan. I think so far, Japan has. I would say, Japan and Spain are probably the two countries that I feel are like in the best sort of form. They just like look really really sharp. But Japan, just just, I don't know, just complete dominate Costa Rica. I mean, there was no real no real opportunities for Costa Rica. Japan just looked like a team that are they're smiling, they're happy to be there. Their chemistry is clearly there. They're scoring buckets.
They're very Johan Cruyffish. Okay, you know what I mean? Like everybody playing with the ball at their feet. Also, yeah. I looked her up because she's absolutely killing it. Hikaru Naomoto.
Okay.
From the Japan team. I don't think she has a club, or at least that I could find. She doesn't have a club. You're about to keep your bags packed, bro, because you are playing yourself into it. At least an NWSL or USL, somebody, or WSL, I mean, somebody about to buy this player's contract or sign her up because she is incredible.
Yeah, she scored the I don't know if it was the first or second goal, the first goal. I mean, and both goals happened very, very quickly in the 25th and 27th minute. And yeah, just basically about 3 or 4 minutes in the game where Costa Rica checked out a little bit, and it really got them, and then those two goals were eventually the difference. But
she's technically with the Urawa Red Diamond Ladies.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
My favorite club, my childhood club.
All
right.
Yeah, we've all. How many times do we have to bring up the Urawa Red Diamond Ladies?
The first goal, her goal was actually pretty notable because I just thought the. I forgot which defender was it. I think it might have been it was either Villalobos or Cotto, but there was a defender they obviously made the pass to Naomoto, and she she tried to slide tackle the ball to intercept the ball, and it was just so completely missed.
It
was Cotto. And then Naomoto had
slips, goes around there, slots it low.
And it was just like one of those moments of like, that's a bad place to go for that ball. Like stay on your feet. Maybe the defender kind of gets by you, but like at least you're putting a little bit of pressure on the shot as opposed to just having all the time in the world. She looked up. Perfectly slotted it. So the just poor defending.
She had a lot of time, almost as much as Messi and Busquets had. we'll get to that later.
I think Atlanta United. Sorry, they have to look at the roster, like the lineup of who they're playing before the games. But we'll get to that.
What if we don't cover the people thinks we're supposed to cover?
They won't even see that coming, bro.
Bro, they think we're playing chess. Now we're playing checkers, baby. We coming in. The other way.
We out here playing, you know, sorry, you know,
which is what we're gonna be playing and saying in our post game.
So Japan was pretty dominant. Costa Rica not looking there like they're gonna do too much in this tournament. They're on 0 points, and Spain and Japan got this on lock. I think they're officially done, right? Yeah, Costa Rica and Zambia in Group C.
And Zambia are done. And without having scored a goal yet. So you hope in the third match.
Yeah.
They get the opportunity to score a goal. That feeling of scoring a goal in the World Cup, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You got to get one.
They deserve it. The other game, Spain against Zambia. This was, again, not too much to discuss outside of the fact that Spain is very, very good in Zambia. It's obviously their first time at a World Cup. They're having, you know, the goalkeeper issues. Spain took a huge advantage of that. But it just seemed like Spain was just kind of a training exercise. That was just like, Zambia could not really defend. And Spain
it's
has
two
so
different
many good
levels.
Players. Yeah.
Yeah, it's two different levels. But hopefully this starts, you know, a serious consideration for the development of the sport in Zambia, because clearly there's some great players there, and it would be better to fill that team out with a bit more. But they're going to go home with a lot of notes. You know what I mean? Zambia's notebooks full.
Exactly. It's like, you know, why is my paper, somebody has so many red lines and corrections?
Wow. Seems like I have more homework after submitting my homework.
With Spain, you wonder, is it the are they, you know, have they, is it simply that they've just been playing against teams that are just completely so inferior, or are they really, really good? But in, I'm going to have to give probably a little bit more credit to Spain, because I mean, they, we've seen this before, where in the last like 2-3 years, just like the development of that that squad and players like Hermoso, who's you know, a veteran, but then Putellas, which is obviously huge, Alexia Putellas, who was like, did she win the Ballon d'Or? Right? Did she? Yeah, she did. Right?
No.
Didn't she win it? Who won it?
No, Ada Hatterberg won. I don't think Putellas might have won it. Actually,
I think she did.
I stopped counting at like 25.
Okay.
It might be more. It might be closer to 30. They've got 30 games with only 2 losses.
Okay.
If you go to 31. It's 3 losses. That's against, the 3 losses come from, oh my God, this might be like 40 actually. Let's just say in the last 35 games, they've only lost 3 times.
Yeah. They're very, okay? very, they're very,
once
very
to the
good.
US, 1-0. The other one to Germany, 2-0. And the other one to England, 2-1.
Yeah.
So what is their level? Their level is clearly the top yeah. rung of, I mean, of women's soccer.
When you see
but, them- You got the questions against some of the bigger clubs,
when you see
bigger
them,
nations.
When you see them play, the you know when especially when we were at ICC, the ICC Futures, and we saw the Barcelona, it was like the U14.
Oh, when you and I bought stock in the Spanish national team, huh?
Okay, but the, we had watched the Barcelona like U14 girls play in this tournament, and they won. And we were there. I mean, we saw they were being coached, but like they got a pep talk by Samuel Eto'o before the game, which is kind of nice.
If you're gonna listen to anyone,
so that was really cool. But we were there. We witnessed this and we watched them play. And I'm actually curious. I wonder if any of those girls in that U14 team, because that was in 2021. When did we do that? 2020?
Oh, that was 2019.
I think it was.
Was it COVID already? I don't think it was COVID.
Maybe it wasn't COVID. Okay, so it might have been 2019. There's a very good chance that one of those, one or more of those girls that played on that team are possibly on the Spanish national team. I don't remember, obviously, who was on the roster.
I don't think Parayuelo was on there.
So I don't know. These girls were like, again, 13, 14 years old. So who knows? But but you watch them play, and that's the thing that we saw. When we were watching these girls play, we were just like, this is straight up like Johan Cruyff. This is Pep Guardiola Barcelona.
Yes.
And they have brought this system to in the academy, and these young girls are playing this system flawlessly. I mean, it's wild to see.
Like, first touch, link up play. Remember me and you were like, does Iniesta have just a bunch of daughters we don't know about, bro?
Because it's quite remarkable, and it's also like, you know, it's probably a little different if you're watching like a U14 boys. The boys themselves are probably like a little bit bigger than the girls, right? But when you're watching U14 girls, it kind of feels like you're watching U10 girls, right? Or whatever.
Yes.
Like also do this incredible thing that is so difficult to do, and they're playing it so flawlessly, and you're seeing that every player on the Spanish national team is just a technically gifted. They know exactly the system, they just implement the system so perfectly, and and that's why these teams that are like, you know, obviously cannot compete on when it comes to quality, they just look so bad. They just cannot keep up.
The real flaw is when they go up against like wildly athletic teams.
Right.
Because a wildly athletic team can kind of compete a little bit. They can kind of punch back.
Right.
You know, where, yeah, you can hold on to the ball as much as you want, but when we counter, you're just a bunch of midfielders. You know what I mean? You ain't got the size, and you ain't got the strength, and you ain't got the speed. So if that happens, that's the only way they can get punched back. Because you're right. When Spain plays on the ball, you're like, damn, have they been doing this for 100 years longer than the rest of us?
They did look really, really good. So, yeah, the other game that we got to take some time to discuss is Canada-Ireland. This was a nice – this was a good – you know, we're in these group stages, we're not getting too many, like, nice even matchups.
Teams scored for the second time in this competition.
So we're not getting – so that was just nice to see. Ireland opened up the scoring with an Olympico. Which was kind of nice from
we had Jordan Angeli on the show this morning, and she goes, I just don't know how Ireland's gonna score. Well, here's how: the most difficult way possible.
Katie McCabe in the fourth minute,
Arsenal zone, let's go,
gets off a corner, scores the Olympico, but against our homie Kaylin Sheridan. We hate to see that. You know, Kayla Sheridan is obviously a friend of the show. She's been on the show.
Former Gotham, now over at Angel City, if I'm not mistaken. San Diego Wave.
I mean, credit to her, because I think she had one of the best games that she had. I mean, she played really, really well, made some really, really important stops. I don't know. This was
the most pressure match for a big team. I think, right? Maybe Norway was a little bit more pressure.
I mean they're having a nightmare of a World Cup so far, so yeah. Simple fact for, look, even giving up an Olympico, I think in a lot of World Cups we see that set pieces are so important in men's soccer, yes, but I feel like there is big like the opportunities to score are seem a little bit better in women's soccer during set pieces, whether somebody can make a mistake, whether just like, you know, the varying heights of the players becomes a really big factor. But this was one where I don't know. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you don't want to give up an Olympico, right? Like, Kaylin Sheridan probably should have positioned herself a little bit better. But it's just like things are kind of so unexpected from time to time in when it comes to set pieces here at the World Cup that it is what it is. But look, Canada ended up winning the game, and she did. She did make a bunch of important saves regardless. But this was just another one where the quality per se, but Canada was just I thought they had the stamina to finish this game out. And
I wouldn't say it's quality. I think they're a more complete team.
Okay.
You know, Ireland really seems like they're very compact, very defensive. You got Sinead Farley, who sits off more of a winger. If she was maybe a bit more central, maybe you'd have a bit more of a scoring threat, but it seems like they're playing to not get scored on versus to be able to score.
Yeah, and
it makes it difficult. Makes it difficult to beat, but makes it difficult to win as well.
I thought Quinn, I thought they had a great game.
Yeah, Quinn had an incredible game. Quinn's also, they're very good with the ball at their feet.
100%.
It's hard to get the ball away from them because Quinn's going to be able to sort of either, you know, turn out of it or shutter off a pass that's going to spring a bit attack.
So I thought they were the best player for sure. As far as I up until kind of the second half when everyone was kind of tired and just a lot of mistakes and just like kind of had to hold on. Jordan Heidema, I thought she was great.
And I feel like she needed a big game. I feel like she needed a good game. I haven't seen enough of her.
And I want to talk about her, but I also want to talk about Christine Sinclair, because I thought Christine Sinclair was pretty bad. I mean, this was one of those games where it's like,
she's 75 years old.
How much
more you want from this?
I mean, just with all due respect, obviously, a bucket machine, but
and a legend. A legend, without a doubt. In the sixth World Cup, hasn't scored yet, if I'm not mistaken.
That's the concern right there. It's just like, this is your thing.
We didn't bring you in for anything else.
But I had a bunch of great chances against Ireland and just like never set her feet right. Kind of soft shots on target. Never really gave the keeper too much trouble. So that was just disappointing because there were about, especially in the second half, there were like two or three chances that the ball fell right at her feet and just couldn't really do anything with. So, yeah, a little bit of a concern, but they get the win regardless because the game winner from Leon, don't know how to say her, Adriana Leon.
It's probably Leon.
Yeah, she received the ball. She's a winger, but she was at the top of the box. Received a great pass, and then to take the touch to control it, and then get it around the keeper. A huge goal. Canada finally kind of like they drew their first game, right? And won this one. So yeah, now they looking like in much better position too.
It would have been a difficult task to try to win this group or get out in this group if they not won this game. So it's a good one. But if you're Christine Sinclair, go ahead.
I was gonna say that, and that loss knocks Ireland out of
Ireland is officially knocked out.
Yeah,
it's tough. That's tough for Ireland, but this is also their first Women's World Cup, so I feel like. You know, they've set the stage correctly for the further development of their team. I mean, if you're Christine Sinclair and you're in front of goal, maybe all you need to do is just chill a little bit.
Yes, all you gotta just chill. That's it. You know what? Maybe she was just too in her head, just too worried. You know, you're a veteran. You've been here before. Okay.
Right. Don't overthink it. Underthink it. You know what I mean?
That's our motto. Underthink.
Yeah. We're more of a never think it. Also, the motto of whoever did the defensive coaching for Atlanta United.
But the best way to chill is with an ice cold Coors Light, especially while you're watching League's Cup in 2023.
Look, the crowd loves it. Oh my God.
Okay.
Okay. Wrong button again. But you gotta chill. And here's the thing: I don't want to have to guess. Okay, I don't want any. You gotta spoon feed it to me. Is this a good joke? Yes or no? I'll find out on stage. But everything else in life, I need to know before I try. Is this a good stock to buy? I don't know. You tell me, owner of Tottenham. You know what I mean? I need things to be official. When I grab a can of beer, if I know it's cold, ice cold, I'm much happier. And as I'm opening that fridge and I look straight at that beer and it has a little Blue Mountain. I immediately know. Money in the bank.
Let's go. Little Blue Mountains, Big Blue Mountains, whatever. I pick up what you're telling me, Coors Light. Thank you.
Right? You see what I'm saying? It's practically insider trading. We know the information before we grab the can.
So this summer, stay passionate and stay refreshed with an ice-cold Coors Light, the official beer of League's Cup 2023. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly, everybody.
There we go. Alexis got it backwards, but you
I got it. Celebrate responsibly. Because,
we're legally obligated to say that last part.
100%. Please celebrate responsibly. That's very important.
Let's go. Okay. So given that we are talking about, we mentioned League's Cup, obviously we got to, Messi watch. Let's see what Lionel Messi is up to. He had his second match for Inter Miami against.
Let's say what happened. He's played 78 minutes so far. He hasn't even played a full 90.
He has not.
The man has 3 goals and I believe 2 assists.
He hasn't started a game for full 90, but he has played a total of 90 minutes. Definitely more 78. Than
78. Oh, yeah, no, 78 plus. Across both.
Yeah, yes. Across both. Yeah, he's played quite a few minutes.
I keep forgetting he came in the 54th minute first game.
Which was also pretty insane. Nobody really expected that, but it worked out.
It's crazy.
So, Inter Miami did face Atlanta United in League's Cup, and League's Cup has been entertaining. Some games,
it's the talk of the town, dude. It's
going
DJ Khaled, Diddy, Camila Cabello.
Yeah.
Gigs is there, not the soccer gigs, hip hop gigs. Raul Alejandro was there.
Right.
Rosalia was not. So sorry. I hope you guys get back together.
Is there an issue with them? Are they good?
Word on the street is they broke up.
No way. They were engaged. Yeah. Oh, it's, yeah. Hate to see it.
I hate to see it.
We're seeing DJ Khaled and Diddy on screen. My old boss, bro.
Yeah, this dude sniffed you, bro.
There's a whole thing about it, but yes.
You got to listen to the back catalog to find out what
the story, I'll let you know. But yes, Diddy sniffed me once. It was totally, I was on board. There was no
HR
issue.
Was there. It was totally cool.
But yeah, this was, I think in this picture, it's cut off a little bit, but Raul Alejandro is there as well. That's who Diddy is next to. And also DJ Khaled. So,
Camila Cabello was there. I think there was also a Colombian actress who I don't recognize, she's apparently very famous. Assad was there, DJ Khaled's kid, as the mascot.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't realize.
You didn't see this?
No.
He was the mascot in front of Messi, cried the entire time.
Amazing.
Messi had to console him.
Wow.
Bro, yeah. If you are a Miami celebrity, now's your chance to get Messi to console your child. Yeah. You just got to call. You got to call Jorge Mas and say, bro, I'm the mascot.
No, but, you know, that's one of those core memories. You know what I mean? Walking out with Messi and stuff like that. So,
just crying the entire time. I mean, who wouldn't cry if you were consoled by it? And to get a chance to be consoled.
I'm going to try to get Messi to hold my baby. Why not? You know?
Yeah, dude. Let's get Mateo in there. Come on.
Yeah, and Messi's son, his oldest son, is also named Mateo. So look at that. All right? They already got so much. He won't even know the difference. It's the same kid, basically.
Bro. You know what? Just swap. Swap with him, bro.
All right. So look, Messi had two goals. So did Robert Taylor. This is, I, you know, we
do you know how old Robert Taylor is?
He's young, right? He has to be like 23, 24.
He's 28 years old.
Get out of here.
Bro, everyone I say this to is shocked. He is a 28-year-old Finnish player. Well, I thought he was a 22-year-old American.
I thought so too. I do know he's from Finland, but my man ain't finished at all, dog.
No, hey, that'll leave a Denmark. Come on. The guy is 28 years old, bro. But I love the tweet you put out. It's like, who knew all we needed to do to unlock how good Robert Taylor was just put him next to the greatest player of all time. And, bro, he's trying things we've never seen him try.
Why don't – you could have done this before Messi got there. Bro, what are you doing?
You had all the time in the world.
You had this ability?
Dog, you had top bins? You had top bins, volley screamers?
What? I mean,
everyone's trying to impress Messi, bro. Look what I can do, Messi.
What kind of, I didn't know you had that feature built in. I thought that was extra.
It's when you play a video game, you're like, I never hit this button before. I didn't know this had that, the character did that move. But
yeah, Robert Taylor, we didn't know who was going to benefit the most from Messi and Busquets arriving.
Roberto Taylor.
Because Felipe Cardenas, when on Morning Footy, I think he mentioned this stat that in the first game against Cruz Azul, Busquets made 14 passes or something like that, and 10 of them were to Messi. And so because I imagine it was just like, all right, well, I know that dude. I don't know these other.
I don't know what
dudes.
These dudes are gonna do. I know what that guy's gonna do.
I know what that guy's gonna do. So I'm gonna try to get it to him as much as possible.
I would even venture to guess that 3 out of the 4 other passes, he called for right back after he passed someone else. He goes, nah, I don't like what he doing. Give it back.
But that's been the wild thing. Atlanta United, not the best defensive team in Major League Soccer. We know that. But, you know, they know that the midfield has Lionel Messi in there, has Busquets in there. Can we put a lid? I mean, I'm not saying 2-foot tackle them. You know, I'm not saying do
how
these crazy
some
challenges.
Pressure? A little. Go up there and say hello to Busquets. Does he have bad breath? Why are you avoiding? Bro, Aaron West tweeted that Busquets kept checking where's the pressure coming, and it just never showed up. And there was one pass where they passed to Messi, and this dude had all the time in the world. He might have completed 4 dribbles before anyone got near him, which is a lot of dribbles in one moment. I mean, I get that Pachuca kind of got shit on a little bit for everyone sort of attacking or surrounding Messi as much as possible.
You mean Cruz Azul, not Pachuca.
Cruz Azul, not Pachuca, sorry. Cruz Azul, had the tactic of like trying to deny Messi access to the ball.
Right.
Right. And people were saying that was very defensive. You didn't go after them. The rest of the team isn't that good. And Atlanta was like, let me show you why you're wrong. Everyone who said that.
But it's impressive. After watching these two games, they've how many times have they even trained together? Maybe four, five?
Five.
Right.
But I said six if you count the game against Atlanta. Because that was essentially a training session.
Yeah, but I think the impressive part, and Joseph Martinez said this after the game, where he was talking about like treasuring this opportunity to play with a player like Messi, and that everybody wants to play their best and be ready to play for the team and play for him. But
makes sense.
But it's also like, why is everybody so good now? Miami were literally just a week ago a nightmare to watch. Constant mistakes, constant poor passes, poor defense, and now every single touch is flawless. Now they know exactly what to do.
Even the Robert Taylor, goal. It's like one time volleys back and forth. I'm like, what is this? Arsenal, Giroud, and Wilshere versus Norwich,
bro. I don't.
When did y'all get this?
Because I understand that having it's like LeBron, having LeBron on your team. LeBron makes other players better, but right. The other players also already know how to like dribble and dunk and shoot or generally
yeah,
right.
Yeah. They just we've seen skill before. It's like, not out of Miami.
We weren't really seeing that before, yeah. And now all of a sudden, all these players are playing with just an unbelievable level of confidence. And it's just so great to see. Even the way they're playing. Look at Joseph Martinez is playing kind of a false nine. He is really like not. He's not playing.
That's because of Tata Martino, though.
No, no.
I mean,
no. It's great to see because I think there is less of just like staying up and waiting for the ball to arrive or making like deliberate runs. To kind of stretch the defense. It's really just like, yo, let's kind of mix it up in the midfield. We have Messi, we have Busquets. We can like get the ball out wide, like perfect. It's just the quality of the passing is just so surreal, and the fact that nobody wants to pressure Messi and Busquets. They have all the time to get the ball to
my
these
point.
Wingers, bro.
This is my point. I thought a guy like Robert Taylor, Joseph Martinez, a lot of these other players would benefit from the fact that defenders are keeping just tabs on Messi. No one kept tabs on Messi. This is how much the team wants to play well. Even the post wanted an assist.
Yeah, there was I think it was Ray Hudson said like that Messi did a 1-2 with the post.
Yeah, bro, I was watching this game and I'm like, I don't even know if I should, because 9 o'clock hits. There's still like 15 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if I should go to bed because I already know what I'm going to see. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like no one cares. And then at one point, I think in like the second half, middle of the second half, they bring on another defensive player in Ozzy Alonso. Now, yeah. You know how much I love Ozzy Alonso.
Yes.
You know how much I respect Ozzy Alonso. A Guano. But I'm sorry. No disrespect in any way, shape, or form. But you can't go, oh, Messi's killing us. Bring in the 37-year-old Cuban. Yeah, it's not what you want in a soccer team,
it's
bro.
Probably not going to be the move that's going to get you,
no.
3 points.
No, when you're losing in a baseball game, you know what I mean? And you're like, oh, we need a left-handed hitter. You don't say, hey, bring me the Argentinian. You know what I mean? You
right.
Like, we all have our roles. You know
this is
what
where stereotypes aren't really going to let you down. You know what I mean?
No. You could have brought any Argentinian in at that point, and it might have been better. No disrespect again than a 37-year-old Cuban. And hey, look, Ozzy's incredible. He's been amazing in MLS. But I asked Felipe this question, and I wanted to hear your thoughts. Are you starting to get the sense that the league is like, uh-oh? Like, yeah, this is great. The Messi show's awesome. But this is kind of starting to make our league look a little bad. And how do we help the rest of these teams bring in players that can keep up with him a little more than our current roster.
I tweeted this.
Don't you think there's going to be some rules adjustments?
Yeah, yeah. I tweeted this. I just said like that, you know, every team is allowed a messy jitters game, you know? Just the first one of just like, I don't want to foul him. I'm too nervous. I don't want to look bad.
Do you think he knows me? Did he notice me?
So I think that, you know, a lot of, you know, frankly, I think a lot of the Atlanta United players were starstruck. And I don't think they, you know, were mentally ready for that game. And you see it. I mean, even in Messi's second goal, I don't even know who was the defender that tracked back. But then Messi gets the ball to Robert Taylor. And instead of marking the runner, who is also Lionel Messi, he's like, oh, let me go after the guy with the ball. You're just chasing shadows at this point. You're just chasing the ball around. And
if you get a chance, we don't have the rights to show it, so we're not going to show the clip. But if you get the chance, go back to that goal you're talking about. You're talking about where Messi goes back to the middle of the box and scores. Watch that, because Miles Robinson, again, U.S. men's national team, one of the better center backs in our system. He gets spun so bad. It looks like he's learning to break dance. He's got one leg up, one leg back. Both hands on it looks like he's playing Twister. He's like, you know what? This ain't for me. I might go pro in Twister, dog.
That's remarkable. Yeah, dude. It was completely, completely poor at every kind of layer from up front. From Atlanta United, the midfield was a nightmare, and defending was just nowhere to be found. They're just one of the worst games that they've had this season, and they haven't really been that good this season. So you know, I think it's a lot of even Atlanta United fans are going to chalk it up to like, yo, it's Messi. What are you going to do? But there's deeper problems with Atlanta United that should also be addressed. But entertaining nonetheless. I do think as far as it making the league look bad per se, I think League's Cup, we're in a weird thing where, like, I don't know, it's like the second game for a lot of the teams. I don't know how like serious certain teams are taking it.
Atlanta put out a really good squad.
No, they did. I'm just saying, but just even like just some of the game, even you know, the there was a game in Austin, Mazatlan and Juarez. I forgot who played.
Yeah, Juarez, but Bofo Sacedo's on Juarez.
Okay, and there were probably 100 people at this game. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like in Austin, this is just like for the, so.
Those are also two teams that aren't.
They're not from there. I understand that, but it's
no. But also, it's not the biggest.
Yeah, fan bases. But clubs, still, kind of, just in general, I think the vibe of the tournament hasn't hit like the peak. Like, you know, outside of like if Messi wasn't playing in League's Cup, I don't know how we would be necessarily talking about this tournament exactly. Like, as far as the excitement levels, until we got to like the knockout round. So that's why I think these group stages are a little strange. There's penalties all the time. Like, I'm not a like I like. Penalties just as much as the next person, but then like every like three penalties a night feels like it's a little excessive and takes away like kind of the excitement of what penalties are kind of for. But I think when we get to the knockout rounds of League's Cup, I think that's when, you know,
yeah,
we're gonna see the quality kind of increase.
Once teams know they can win it, and honestly, the most important. This is no more important for anyone than it is for Inter Miami. They're probably going to have a difficult time getting in the playoffs. I don't want to keep that away from Messi. In a group chat, I was having a conversation with a bunch of MLS fans, and someone's like, yo, it's possible that Messi could still end the MLS season with 20 goals, even in 12 games.
Yeah.
Like, it's possible. You know what I mean? Like, it's 12 games, but it's Messi.
Lionel Messi being like, I am so proud to win the Landon Donovan MVP, bro.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for him to win the Landon Donovan the Who MVP award.
I would prefer to win the Lionel Messi MVP awarded to Lionel Messi. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the Matteo Messi MVP award might be better.
All good, bro.
I do think it's a consideration for the league. They're like, yo, we might need to open up this budget a little bit, because if not, Miami's just going to run. I mean,
and people are talking about the, you know, maybe teams are going to put down grass if when Messi comes to play. Like, are they going to be forced to do that? Or maybe even just financially, like, hey, if Messi, maybe Messi won't play on turf, and we're just gonna have to.
He won't.
Yeah. So because
he will not.
So teams like Atlanta, I believe he's playing in at Mercedes-Benz. Are you gonna give up the opportunity to make tons of money and just put down some temporary grass for one game? Like, why not? Spend the what, like $2 million to put down. To put down grass. You'll make that money.
Neither one of us are botanists.
I don't know how much it costs to put down grass.
$2 million is a pretty good shout. That's a pretty good shout.
It's a big amount of grass. You got to transport it, do all this stuff.
Why do you keep talking about grass? We don't know how this works.
They roll it in like, it looks like a...
you and I know.
A fruit roll up. You got to unfruit roll up the grass.
Yeah. And be careful because there's a wrapper in there, bro.
Because they don't eat the wrap. Some people do that, bro.
That's what I'm telling you, bro. Also, can't be too hot because the grass will melt and get stuck together, all clumped together. Nobody wants that.
All right. Let's wrap there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Another Women's World Cup Daily. Reminder, make sure you leave a review on Apple Podcasts. You subscribe on any podcatcher that you use. If you're listening to this on the Levitard and Friends feed, also subscribe to our feed. Go there as well, so you don't miss any episodes. And you can also leave reviews on our podcast feed and stuff like that. So please do that. Subscribe on YouTube. Shout out to everybody watching on DraftKings Network. We appreciate y'all. And tonight, obviously, the U.S. is playing against Netherlands, so it'll be an exciting game. We're going to have a parlay that that's going up later today. So everybody will see it. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans everywhere, and you'll see that parlay, and you can join us on DraftKings. We'll be right there in the app. So we've been having a lot of fun, getting involved in these games right there on the DraftKings app. So all right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. We will be back tomorrow. We have a special Leagues Cup guest tomorrow. So they'll be joining us in a little bit. You're going to be very, very excited, especially if you are an LAFC fan, everybody.
Maybe Real Sociedad fan, Arsenal fan. Or at one point, El Tri.
All right. Who knows? Who could be? I don't know.
Who could it be?
So make sure you tune in tomorrow for that. All right, everybody. We will see you then. As always, keep enjoying the Women's World Cup, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace, everybody.
Love you guys.